consideration. The psalmist David gives it to us again in Psalm 40, in verse 32. The psalmist says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going." Can't you see the sheep like that? "When a sheep is cast, he loses the strength in his legs. And the shepherd must stand him on his feet. He might fall again, and the shepherd will pick him up. And he begin to massage those legs. And eventually the blood will come back to those legs again, and the sheep will be able to run off to the flock again."
You've got to carefully deal with a restored sheep. They've lost some of their strength. They've been injured. They've been hurt.
"But the shepherd comes and he places my feet upon a solid rock and he establishes my going." What a joy to that sheep to be returned to the strength of his legs. The sheep's restoration is to two different areas. First of all, he's restored to the shepherd. Once again, the joy, the peace, the love, the patience, the kindness of that gracious shepherd he receives. The touch, the sound of his voice. The provision of oil and wine for his injuries. He has that. He is restored to the shepherd. But then he's also restored to the other sheep. It's not enough to be restored simply to the shepherd. I've got to be restored to my family. My family of sheep and my fellowship of the sheep. It's one thing to be restored to the Lord, but it's something else to be restored to the family, to the flock of God. And to participate and enjoy and be restored to the blessings that God has given in the fellowship of his saints. Moses knew what it was. Moses was a murderer. God restored him. David was a murderer and adulterer. God restored him. Peter was a denier. God restored him. Jacob was a supplanter. God restored him. Go through the list. Samson and various other ones. Can God use you again? He used David. He used Peter. He used Moses. He used Jacob. And he'll use you. This is a promise from his word. He restoreth my soul. Do you need restoration? Claim his promise this morning. In the quietness of this time as we pray, begin that restoration work by recognition of where you are, by confession of your present situation, and receive the gracious work of the Spirit of God and of the loving Shepherd, bringing you back to himself and back to his sheep. So we pray together. Father, we are grateful to you for your infinite care of us. How loving, how gracious, how long-suffering. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is your mercy in restoring us. We thank you. We know that you have begun a work in the lives and hearts of some who are here this morning. And we are confident that you will complete that work until the day that our shepherd comes, the great shepherd of the sheep. Offer you our thanks. Offer you our praise. Offer you our worship. We thank you that you are our shepherd. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Father, we're thankful to you for this psalm, for the intimate personal content which we can enjoy and understand. We thank you for the promises that are resident in these verses, and we ask that as we consider a few more today, that this particular portion of your word will become very precious to us. In the midst of the joys of life, we might turn to it. In the midst of sorrows and sufferings, we might find comfort. In the midst of difficulties, we might find something that would hold us up and be a source of blessing. Help us to share with others those things that we learn, that people will know that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ and learned of him. We offer you our thanks. again for this day, for the opportunity of remembering our fathers, what they have meant to us, how they have trained us. We thank you again that this points us to our Father, our God, the one who is the perfect example for each of us as fathers. We offer you our thanks as we rest in your presence, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the second time in this psalm, the sheep boast of the guidance he receives from his shepherd. I wonder why he mentions it twice in this particular psalm. He says, he leadeth me for the second time. Is it because the nature of the sheep is that he would stray, and therefore he must remind himself of the care of the shepherd? Is it because guidance is the greatest need that the sheep have, and therefore the sheep reminds himself of the shepherd's care and of his guidance? It's instructive to us, as we read this psalm, to realize that these two references to guidance, he leadeth me, surrounds those simple words, he restoreth my soul. Now, it's important that we realize that they go together. I hope you put in the margin of your Bible, beside the words, he leadeth me beside the still waters, the word refreshment. And then beside the words, he restoreth my soul, you can put restoration. And this morning, beside the words, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, you can put the word regulation. Perhaps the sheep makes his boast in the guidance that he receives from the shepherd because he might have suggested that whenever the shepherd leads and he guides, he always leads and guides us beside still waters. And there will never be any difficulties or trials or sufferings who would come to the shepherd, the sheep who follows the shepherd. And perhaps the sheep thinks of that as he reads through this or as he reviews this, and the shepherd, speaking under the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit, wants to immediately remind those who are going to read this psalm that it will always be still waters. It won't always be quietness. It won't always be comfort. There are times when, as the next verse says, he leads us through dangers, through difficulties and trials. And it should be helpful to remind us that the sheep realizes that the shepherd not always guides us in that which is easy, in that which is simple. Sometimes he takes us through what we call very deep waters. But I want to suggest to you this morning that the restored sheep needs regulation. A restored sheep needs the regulation of the shepherd. I trust that you were thrilled as we considered the important promise of last Sunday morning. As you considered the work of the shepherd in restoring the sheep, I hope that just sort of gave you a sense of fulfillment and of blessing to know that the shepherd has promised to restore our soul. Surely you must have felt a sense of real relief to know that you and I, as many times as we have strayed, still, he restores our soul. Were you not thankful at the word of comfort, encouragement, to realize that he restores us? I wonder if you'll let him begin the work of restoration, of bringing you back to himself, of allowing him to put you on his shoulders and bring you back. If he has restored you, now he wants to regulate you. And they go side by side. True restoration involves intimate regulation. If you do not let him restore, I can tell you, you will not let him regulate. And if you do not let him regulate, he cannot restore. They are intimately bound up one in the other. And the one follows the other, and it is surrounded by the two. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is impossible for him to restore unless you allow him to regulate your life. Now, we may very well thrill at the joy and privilege of being restored. It may just be tremendous to come back to the sheep and come back to the shepherd. But as soon as we do,
the shepherd is going to remind us, I want to regulate your life. I want to restore in love, but I want to regulate in love as well.
If you are wandering away from him, if you are fleeing from the shepherd, I want to remind you that you are also independent of his guidance. You are also independent of his blessing. You are independent of his regulation. As soon as the sheep returns to the shepherd, he begins to unfold the kind of life he wants for that sheep. He begins to regulate. He lays down guidelines and principles by which that sheep should live. And so you can see that restoration and regulation, or guidance and direction, are knit together in this psalm so intimately that we mustn't miss the story. I've often stood by the hospital bed or with some suffering Christian, and the Lord is in the process of restoring that person. I can see his work. I can hear them express the things the Lord has taught them. I can hear and understand some of the ingredients of growth that the Lord is trying to weave into their life. I can hear the words of recommitment by the sheep, of the guidance. I can hear the words of someone who has gone through suffering or perhaps is in the hospital bed, being reminded of the Lord that he wants his service. And they say, yes, I'll serve the Lord. There are those who have left off reading the scripture, and in time of sorrow and suffering, they recommit themselves to this exercise of soul, and they say, as they lie in their hospital bed, I'm going to read this scripture every day. I can hear them talk about prayer and the need for prayer in their life, and they've prayed more in this hospital bed than they have in weeks, and they say, it's going to be a regular part of my life. I've heard some talk about the restoring work of God as they committed themselves to be a part of a local fellowship and pour their lives into that fellowship. I've heard others who have said, well, you know, I never really gave much to the Lord, but he's given me so much, and he's restored my soul, I'm going to begin to give to him. That's what he's talking about. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to look at three things this morning. I want to look, first of all, at his direction. He leadeth me. Then I want to look at his determination in the paths of righteousness. And then I want to look at his decision. It is for his name's sake. First of all, his direction. He leadeth me. May I remind you of this wonderful guarantee that the sheep boasts of the shepherd. He leadeth me. And he says, the one who is the Lord, the one who is Jehovah, he is the one who leads me. It's not his servant. It's not his hireling. It's not even his word. It is he himself. By his personal presence, he leadeth me. He gives me himself as the guide and the direction of my life. I want to look at it from the viewpoint of the shepherd, because we looked at the guidance from the standpoint of the sheep last time. What is the shepherd involved in this direction? The first thing he's involved in is moving the sheep. If you were to follow a careful and dedicated shepherd, you would realize that one of his characteristics is that he is continually moving the sheep. I don't mean minute by minute he's driving them. I'm talking about day by day and week by week. Each day they're in a different pasture. And even if they have a home base, he will go out like a leaf around a flower and go out again the next day and out again the next day and the next day. Each day to a different pasture. And he is moving the sheep. And he is dependent upon this moving to cause them to grow and to mature and develop. If they were to stay a long time in one place, the sheep would continually eat that grass, even down to the roots. And the lamb would be destroyed. The careless shepherd seldom moves his sheep. And such sheep become sick and weak and frail as they pollute their own land and their own water. And soon they will die. It's simple to see how concerned the shepherd is that the sheep have a bountiful source of food, and that it's necessary for the sheep to move continually in order for them to get that food. There's no way possible a healthy sheep can stand in one place. Our shepherd wants to move us on too. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, let us go on unto maturity. And in chapter 5, he complains and about the people who are reading the book of Hebrews. He said, when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles of Christ. He says, you're babes and you can't take meat. And he's concerned that those who should have been leaders and teachers among those Christians were babes in Christ. The tragic picture, isn't it? The tragic picture of sheep who are still on the same land after years. I've ministered here for 10 years. And I know some who have never moved on to new truth. In 10 years, they're still on the same piece of ground. They're sick. They're frail. They still don't read the Word of God. There's still no witness from your lips. There's still little time for prayer. No concern for worship at the Lord's Supper and time in prayer with the prayer meeting. You still give the same $5 you gave 10 years ago. You see, the sheep can't make it if they don't grow, if they don't move on. And we become sick and frail and weak. We can't stay beside still waters all the time. It would be so nice if we could just be there beside the still waters and never have to move through the difficulties and trials of life, the sufferings and problems that the shepherd has in store for us. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just always be by still waters? But that's only an occasional visit. We always have his presence, no matter where he takes us. The shepherd has led us. The question is whether we have followed. And if we haven't followed, I can tell you very simply, we've strayed. And we need restoration. Tell me, does he lead you to his word? Does he lead you to prayer? Does he lead you to worship? Does he lead you to witness? Of course he does. But we perhaps have shut our eyes to that kind of guidance. And so we've wandered. The second thing that this careful shepherd does, not only does he move the lamb, but he also is managing the land. He is managing the land. A careful shepherd will know when the land has been used up and he must move on to some other place. The shepherd carefully guides his sheep from this part to that part to this part. If he stays, he ruins the land. And it's impossible for them to stay in one place and never move on. If he does, he'll destroy the only source of food that he's got. Some shepherds who don't move their sheep, they only destroy the land, but they also destroy the land. The land will become crisscrossed with paths because the sheep are creatures of habits like you and I. We are creatures of habit. We do the same thing day after day. We sit in the same seat in the church. We do the same things, and just like sheep, they would crisscross the land back and forth, and those paths would become ridges, and those ridges would become gullies, and the erosion would take place, and finally it would sweep the soil away, and there would be nothing for the sheep to feed on. As a shepherd, I am reminded of my responsibility to provide a variety of food. We can't dwell on one truth all the time.
There's got to be development and growth. There's got to be movement from one land to the other. We can't take the ABCs of the gospel. We must, as Hebrews says,
go on to perfection, not dwell on the old truths. Would to God that we were growing and developing and maturing individually, and that we were reaching to new heights and new truths, that our minds were being stretched by new concepts in the Word of God. But we are so comfortable with the few little truths that we've gotten. And it's so easy to get into a rut and crisscross back and forth across a few truths. The shepherd says they'll never grow that way. I will destroy the land, and I will destroy the land. A balanced spiritual diet is so crucial to development. And so we are in the Psalms this morning, and we'll be in the book of Hebrews tonight, and we'll be in Timothy on Wednesday, and in the Sunday school classes, we're in various other portions, so that you can have, so that there is available to you, a balanced diet for your spiritual growth. The third ingredient of this kind, directing shepherd is a manifestation of love. The shepherd, every decision he makes for his sheep, every choice, every place that he goes with his sheep, it's because he loves his sheep. He cares for them. Where he takes them, when he takes them, why he takes them, how he takes them, each of these is because he loves us. And he comes as our wonderful, loving shepherd, and he makes these choices on the basis of his love. Secondly, I want to look at his determination. The determination in paths of righteousness. The shepherd is completely responsible to regulate the sheep, to guide the sheep in every step that the sheep takes. And he joyfully takes that responsibility. He is so thrilled that the sheep will come to him and say, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. You remember the disciples saying that, and you and I perhaps have said it too. In the midst of restoration, we have come to the Lord and we've said to the Lord, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. And the Lord sends down a series of guidance for us, and we check off the ones we're willing to do and send them back to the Lord. His determination. The paths of righteousness. What does that mean? It means right paths. The determining factor is what is right for the sheep. Not what's easy. Not what's simple. Not what's cheap, but what is right. The whole guiding principle in this particular area of guidance, is it right? In his determination, we look first of all at his place. What is his place? If he is going to lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, what is his place? I can tell you his place. His place is in front of me. Always is. Always has been, always will be. He'll be right in front of me. In John chapter 10 verse 4 says he goes, he puts his own sheep forward and he goes before them. That's his place. His place is in front of me. He takes care of that. It's his joy. He will stand in front of us and he will move out. My place is to follow him. And I must remember that because as the children of Israel were told in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, ye have not passed this way before. You've never had to cross this road before. You've never had to go across this particular bridge before. You've never had to go through this suffering before or this trial or this difficulty. And the Lord is saying to us, I'm your shepherd. I will go there before you. I will go before you because you've never passed this way before. My place. My place is to keep as small a space between me and my shepherd as possible. If he is leading me, I want to keep a distance between myself and my Savior, between myself and my shepherd, as small as possible. But there are some of us who would like to keep as great a distance as possible between ourselves and our shepherd, and we just want to be able to see him through the mist of the morning. We want to be able to see where he is, but let's not get close to him. You know what that is? That's a characteristic of a sheep that's about to wander away. And we must be very careful. We want to keep as short a distance as possible to get as near to Christ as we possibly can. You know, it's like a child who is told, don't get wet. But we go to the ocean and the child gets ever so much closer.
rise and sit up as far as way as possible as you can from the water. They go as close as they can. But you and I, we try and get as far away from the Lord as possible and as close to the world and still be called a Christian. My responsibility is to get as close to Him as possible. His plan
is that we should be in right paths, in paths of righteousness or right doing.
That's His design for me, that I go in the right path, not always the easy ones. He has gone ahead. He knows where this path leads. He knows that this particular path here might lead to a rushing torrent. And I must need His care. There are times when He will bring me to a place, a wall, a bridge, and I will be totally dependent because He will pick me up and He will put me over that wall and I cannot make it myself. And His plan is to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. As He says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, it's not the easiest, but it's the best. And it's the right path. Some paths lead to a rushing torrent. The spring snows have begun to melt and they're coming down the mountainside, and He will bring His sheep right to the edge. And then one by one, He'll pick them up and He'll carry them across that rushing torrent and put them on the other side. It's the right path. It's not the easy one, but it's the right one. My first responsibility is to know His plan. The second is to do His plan. And the third is to love His plan. If I know what He wants me to do, and I do it, and I love it, that will give me the kind of guidance He's talking about. His place in front of me. His plan in right paths. His program is of His choosing. The trusting sheep knows that the shepherd's program is not going to be easy. But He'll be there. What is He going to do? Sometimes some of those paths lead to a precipice, and if I go my own way, I will tumble and fall into the chasm. There are perhaps other paths that will lead to a cave, which is the den of some lion or some bear or some wolf, and I cannot go there. They are right paths, and those right paths are sometimes paths of difficulties. There are hurdles. There are walls. There are difficulties that I am going to experience if I truly follow the Savior. They are right paths. He knows that I am totally dependent upon Him, and He will bring me to a place where I cannot make it myself, in order that I might be reminded I cannot do it by myself. Not only are the paths a program of difficulties, it's a program of distresses. Some of the paths that the shepherd will take the sheep along are up along mountain paths, and these paths are no more than 12 to 16, maybe 18 inches wide, and they wander and wind back and forth around the mountainside. There's only room for one, and we must go single file. And if I keep my eye on the shepherd and on the sheep ahead of me, I will not tumble down. But if I begin to look to the left hand and to the right, I see the tremendous yawning chasm. I will be filled with fear. Some of His direction and guidance takes me along paths that are paths of distress. I might hear the howl of the enemy. I might be filled with fear. But that's the right path. His program also includes deprivation. He may deprive me of certain things. On occasion, I will not get all the food and water that I might like. There are times that He has a plan for me, and that plan and that program means that I must get to that cave by nightfall. And if we stop and eat and we stop and drink, we'll not make it. He knows that. And sometimes I will have to do without. He may deny me sleep in order to feed me. He may deny me rest so we can get to the place of His choosing by that night. There are a lot of things that I might think I need. And He says, little sheep, you don't need that. You need me. And so there are going to be times I'm going to be deprived. That's His place before me. His plan is in the right path. His program is my trusting Him. Finally, there is His path. He leads me in the right path. He leads in order that I might grow to maturity. He leads me to this field so I might eat, and to this pasture, and to this meadow, so that I might partake of the luxury and food that he has provided.
How do I know that it's the right path?
How do I know? You and I, as little sheep following the shepherd, how do I know that I'm in the right path? There are two ingredients. One is the example of the shepherd. He is my leader. If he has gone there, I can go there. If he would do that, I can do that. Would my sheep lead me to do this? Would my sheep, or could I say perhaps, has he done it? Maybe rather, would he do it? When I begin to do something in my Christian experience, I can easily ask the question, would he do it? Has he done it? Would my Savior bless what I'm drinking? Can I ask the Lord to bless the smoke I'm about to enjoy? Would he lead me to a lounge, to a dance, to a movie? Would he lead me to cheat, to steal, to dishonor? Can you not see that if I put my feet behind the shepherd's feet, there are certain things that he wants to regulate. And if he's going to restore, he must regulate. Would my shepherd lead me to read his word? Of course he would. Would my shepherd lead me to pray, to witness? Would my shepherd lead me to worship? Would he lead me to fellowship with his people? Of course he would. If he would do it, so can I, because he's my leader. He's my guide. Not only the example of the shepherd, but also the exposition of Scripture. I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to know where he wants me to go. And I can go to the book that he's written, and I can follow that book, and I find that he will lead me. He will guide me through his word. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know. And I can realize that if the Scripture describes it, I can do it. Would he lead me to spend hours in front of the TV and minutes in my Bible? Would he lead me to give 15% to the waitress and 5% to him? Would he lead me in that kind of way? You see, he wants to regulate. And this regulation is for his good, for your good, for my good. His word. It's his voice. It's his business to lead me. It's mine to follow him. And maybe we've meddled this morning, but he wants to regulate because it's for our good. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the final thing is his decision. Everything he does is for his name's sake. Can I do this in his name? Can I eat this in his name? Can I drink this in his name? Can I go there in his name? The new pastor was invited to the family for dinner one evening. And when the dinner was finished and the table was cleared, the hostess brought out a deck of cards, laid them on the table, and began to spread them around. The pastor rose to his feet and said, let's ask the Lord's blessing on this game of cards. And she said, oh, I've never done that before. And he said, well, I don't engage in anything that I can't ask God's blessing on. And she said, well, maybe we shouldn't play. And the cards were put away, and the Word of God was opened. And they fellowshiped around the Word of God. For his name's sake, in his name, can I ask him to bless what I'm doing, where I'm going, where I'm spending my time? He has restored you, I trust, to his word, to prayer, to the fellowship of his people, to the table of his communion, to the prayer of his congregation. He wants to regulate your life. And only if he regulates can he restore. Let him regulate so he can restore. Shall we pray together?
Father, we thank you for that wonderful name, that name that is above every name, that one day at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of your great, great person. Father, we thank you for your regulation of our lives, and we acknowledge how easily we fall away from that regulation, how soon we stumble and wander from your guidance and your direction. And we ask again this morning that in your infinite grace you would come to us where we are, pick us up and put us on your shoulder. Restore us to yourself and restore us to your people. Restore to us the joy that is to be found in Jesus Christ, the peace that is resident in him. Oh, our Father, we ask that we might be willing to follow his regulating power, that others would see that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ and learned of him. We ask it in his lovely and precious name. Amen.